What's up, listeners? JTM here, and I wanted to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Serviceware. Serviceware is an Apple-authorized service provider located in Pleasanton, California. This family-owned and operated business started in 1981 as an electronics repair shop and has since become an industry leader in both phone and computer repair for all of your Apple product needs. Owner Justin Carvacho is also an avid listener to the podcast. And as TGG's first official sponsor, we couldn't be more excited for the partnership. So next time your Apple product's on the fritz, cut the long lines at the Apple store and shop local. Head on over to Serviceware, where you can rest assured that Justin and his team will give it back to you better than they found it. Learn more at serviceware.com. That's servicewr.com. Enjoy the show.
This one's for all the haters.
This is for all the haters.
You don't have any.
Yo, welcome back. We were just enjoying. This song is extra funkin' funky on Fridays, man. And I think you guys might agree. But with that said, welcome back. It is JTM in the studio. Just hopped out of the kitchen. I'm in a few more places these days. We're at the Advanced Creative Studio in the beautiful Livermore Valley in the heart of the Vasco Row Makers District. I am with the one and only
Savannah Banana and Anxiety.
Did you just intro yourself?
I did.
The freak.
I thought something was going on over there.
No, it's totally cool. You don't get the banana.
I'm not with it today. I'm so sorry.
It's our first time podcasting, guys. It's okay. We're reckless on Fridays. It makes perfect sense. How are you feeling over there?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I feel you. I'm feeling great.
I feel you. I think I saw you, when I see you in the mornings.
You saw me this morning, yeah.
It feels like yesterday.
It does.
Yeah.
Because it's so long ago.
You were wearing your Muffin Lab.
Yeah.
Which would have released cozy at this point. I wouldn't know. I got a t-shirt, which is also cool.
We made choices.
It's all right.
You had an option.
You
don't get to be a pushover and then cry about it later. You got to say stuff with your full
chest.
No,
there's more context to that because when you said pick which one I wanted, you also made eyes and kind of jumped towards the one I wanted.
Yeah, because I'm somebody who's so shy about expressing my feelings that you have to use my eyes to let you guess.
But it's another beautiful day. The sun is like almost officially out. I'm properly in shorts.
It feels summer vibes.
Yeah.
I was in shorts and a t-shirt during the afternoon.
I was in a hot line, but now I am. Went home, changed, splashed some water, excited to be here. And now we're drinking some beautiful DMX, which we'll introduce here soon in a second. But in the meantime, we have a guest here. We wanted to give you guys some time to load up on Spotify so you can make sure you're watching us. We spend so much time with our placement of various things, especially our guests. So we thought we might as well just get into it because she brought us a lovely wine. We'd like her to maybe just introduce it. Maybe there's always sometimes a fun backstory to like how and why you bought the bottle. But otherwise, we are here today with Jenny O'Leary, who is the marketing coordinator over at the Livermore Valley Wine Growers. Perfect timing.
That was so good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did we also an accident? I swear we didn't time that. We're not that good yet. How you doing, Jenny? Thanks for being here.
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. Heck yeah. Okay. Now we can do our cheers. All right. So, I mean, is there a backstory to this delicious bubbles, or are you just at the place you like and you bought it because you buy things?
It was a Napa trip with my executive director.
Oh, fun. Okay.
It was very fun.
Okay.
And she's a member there, so
okay.
I was like, this is the one I have to buy.
Mom's a fun place. I really like sitting because it has like the multiple little patio areas, which is like nice to sit out like around sunset.
Yeah.
Just overall cool vibe.
And like Napa is nice, but like champagne houses are nice.
Yeah. I love sparkling. It's my favorite.
Me too.
Absolute favorite.
They are. Like every time I drive by Domain Carnero, so like I want a house that looks like that.
Yeah.
You know what always kills me about there is that I know they're appointment only and I never make an appointment and I'm always like, oh, we'll make an appointment next time. And we just continue to drive by it. I'm never making the appointment. It's never happening.
But like, you can call that number, Dave, and be like, I'd like to make an appointment for right now.
With Domain Carneros? I don't know.
And they take,
they're always busy.
They take very good care of industry.
I wouldn't do it though.
They take very good care of industry.
I'd feel too guilty. for existing, like, there. Be like, I'm so sorry. I can't believe I called you to AF. It's like, fine. Come on. Just throw us anywhere.
No, it
like,
shouldn't be. I just want to spend money.
The idea of putting somebody out will ruin my life.
I feel you there.
I understand that.
But every once in a while, put someone out. Because, like, when do we?
It's I'm always a good like, point.
The, oh,
Jeremy,
I'll take the chicken even though I ordered a steak.
Right.
I hope that doesn't ever happen to any. I actually hope that happens to my enemies, but like no one else. Who are my enemies, you ask? I don't really know, but I'll work on it.
Sometimes in hospitality, you enjoy going above and beyond for that one person.
Yeah.
So you could be making somebody else's day by going above and beyond for yourself.
Yeah, I never want anybody to do that. Don't you fucking dare be nice to me. I don't know what to do with that.
No, that's the path of least resistance is not one traveled by Savannah. She always goes.
I'm like, where's the resistance? Where's great, I'll go
mud
there.
Rudder, a Spartan race? But hey, Jenny, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
Is this your first official pod?
My first time ever.
It's going pretty good so far, right?
So far, so good.
Right?
Yeah, this is great. This is comfy.
Advanced Creative Studio. Here at Vasco Row. It's a beautiful day. Just excited.
The blue light really works with you too. You can't see it as much, but I can see it. And blue is certainly one of your colors.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Appreciate that.
That's, I mean, you're not wrong.
So if you guys aren't watching, agree or disagree. If you disagree, you're going to be one of my enemies and I'll write you on the list.
You disagree, write it in the comments.
Yeah.
Well, hey, we did it. We're doing it. There's a buttload of news, and I feel like news is always on here, and we never touch on it. So I'm going to touch on it. We don't have to touch all of it.
By news, upcoming events for
upcoming
this
events for a lot, you know, people opening. Jenny is a local. She has some news as well, which we don't have to jump straight into. But, like, let's talk about the news. Because when this comes out, I say let's start with the Street Fest, which is coming up.
Do we do a do-do-do-do-do-do-do?
Still working on this. I know.
That's where you come in.
Baby steps. I'm going to write another back end note that I swear we'll take care of one day.
What's the news? Hit it.
Do. No, there's no soundbite yet. But no, we got plenty of news here. So as far as like new openings, some of you all may have heard of Patisserie by Simone, which has replaced Dan's Good Cookie space over there in the Charter Oak Shopping Center. Great bar after a city hall meeting.
You love naming stuff.
It's what it's called. Charter Oak, Oak Door.
Oak Door.
There you go. What did I call it? Charter Oak?
You call it Charter.
Is there a Charter Oak? Did I just make that up?
I think maybe.
Okay.
So going back to my original statement.
If you drink enough.
You love naming things.
If you drink enough, it becomes a Charter Oak. The Oak Door. Great breakfast special next door, by the way.
Yeah.
Amarillo's.
Thank you. What's still a
bingo.
Good greasy sing. Bingo across bingo. The...
Like, karaoke on Friday nights at the Oak Door.
I'm so like, don't... Like, the plaza may sleep on you because it looks sleepy, but, like, it's pretty happening over there.
Oh, yeah.
There needs to be, like, a saloon something or another. Or, like a saloon nights because it's got, like... Do you know what I'm saying? Like, the way it physically looks.
Yeah, or, like, put a market where that big, beautiful building is and wants
but
to
like
be
a Western-themed market? Don't ask me what that looks like or what that is, but like somebody else smarter will figure it out.
In the middle?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
I think that space would be great for a public market.
Yeah, and the landlord inspired. Does not listen
well,
to this podcast.
It used to be a grocery store right there.
Knob
was
Hill.
It a Knob
yeah.
Hill. Mm-hmm. Did they move to the where they went?
I think so.
Okay. Damn it. Such a beautiful space. But Patisserie by Simone, she's been open for a month and a half, a couple months now. I have not been able to make it yet, but I'm with plans to. But all I've heard is great reviews.
Yeah.
I've heard amazing things.
Lines out the door. She sells out. Great problem to have.
People are excited, too.
People are excited.
It's also great to just see somebody pop into something.
Yes.
Like right after another person so that it doesn't just like go dead.
Yeah.
I think that's
really
cool.
I was in a LDI meeting earlier this week and on the last episode, we talked about a lot of vacancies, which sucks to see.
Yeah.
But like what they alluded to is like all those spaces, most of those spaces have applications right behind them, which just proves and continues to prove like there's a eagerness to do business here.
Yeah. Right.
And we're not talking fucking Starbucks and round table pizzas. We're talking about like us peoples.
Right. Yeah.
Which is cool. So like it sucks to see businesses go out, but we love seeing them replaced by more people trying. That's the point.
I have a personal thing to add. I live walking distance to that shopping center.
You live near me then.
And I love going downtown. I love Wingham. I love the press, everything that they have. But the ability to be able to just 10 minutes out the door in my sweats with my kids, I can't wait for that space to be utilized more for those kind of things. So I'm excited for the bakery be there.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we start
sushi restaurant over there too, but RIP.
Let's get it back. Maybe we start Let's start leaning into being influencers.
I think we might be.
Influence. You certainly are one. Let's influence people to do the things we want.
Already a little bit.
Yeah. Let's go hard in the paint. Let's really influence what we want.
Sit down with a landlord.
We find somebody. Maybe mob style. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. Yeah.
Like a mob petition.
Well, just
like a.
No, we got signatures and pitchforks. Fuck around and find out. Okay. So all right. See, this is why we never get through the news. Reel it in. So go see Simone. You got to walk past all the mobsters and gangsters. But it sounds like she's doing great things. I've only heard good things. I can't wait to get there. Right around the corner from that is the Craft Beer Festival, which is coming up May 11th over at LOSPO. This is the second year that it's been happening at LOSPO. And I think the fifth year they've done it.
At LOSPO College.
Yeah. Okay. Second year they've done it at LOSPO.
Right.
May 11th.
Do I go get smashed before I graduate?
Yes. No, yes is the answer. No, I was talking with John Sylvester.
I vote yes.
Yes, right?
Right.
When you graduate that day?
That day, yeah. At 5 p.m., which I was like, oh, that's like so late. I was I want to do it early so that I can have like a good time after.
How selfish. They're making you wait that long?
Yeah.
So they fully expect everyone to come wasted then, right?
That's what I'm assuming.
Making me wait till grad. And I'm like a troop mossy. So 5 p.m., I'm not graduating till 7. I am lit by the time I hit the stage.
Okay, you get it. Thank you. I feel really vindicated at this
point. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So Savannah graduates May 12th.
Smaller kind of graduating. Aurora is going to be there, which is really great. Thank you. Yeah. This is one of the connections we have is that you are a CCU East Bay alum.
I am.
Yep. We are
alumni.
Something stupid and unnecessarily gendered. We're alumni.
I had no idea.
Alumnus is everyone. Alumni is men. Alumnae is women.
Okay.
I don't fucking know. It's so stupid. Unnecessarily gendered. Alumni is great for everyone.
Don't make it over difficult. Okay, you guys are alums. Got it.
Yeah, we're alums.
So up there at LOSPO Craft Beer Festival, it is a ticketed event, but the tickets include all you can drink and have fun, which doesn't mean it's the drunk fest, but it's a $65 ticket for entry. And I think VIP is $75, and it comes with parking and all these things. And which is a steal. Money is expensive. Yeah,
absolutely. Parking's included.
Yeah.
Win.
It's a win. And you get in an hour early for $75, all you can drink beer festival.
It's a nice campus too. I like being up
LOSPO
there.
LOSPO is a nice campus.
It's from what time to what time? All day. If you're there around sunset, spectacular.
It's all
sunset over there. So, the planes are always flying by too, which is cool. By.
Yeah.
It's a great place.
So Savannah will be there pre-gaming. You can go say hello to her.
Congratulate her.
Yeah. Congratulate her. Otherwise, Street Fest is included. Street Fest is happening the following weekend, May 18th, May 19th.
Street Fest is a big deal.
It is a huge deal.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excited. I didn't. It's my feet. I drug my feet and
it's okay.
Missed my opportunity to get a booth down there because people reserve in January. Totally makes sense. But what the come on.
That's okay. It's okay.
No, it's not. It's a huge day.
Okay. Do we want to go fight somebody then? Accept it or we fight. Those are your options.
Okay. Offline.
Maybe you walk around, enjoy it, and pass out samples.
Yeah.
Now you're talking.
Or business cards, you know?
Little nickel bags.
Yeah.
Come over here behind Wing and Bakery, guys. I got that bagel. No, but Street Fest is huge. It's a big deal here in Livermore. It brings hella people.
Right.
Yeah.
Two days in a row.
Right.
The cars are usually out. Yeah. The things. I mean, it's just awesome. They do most importantly is they do footlong corn dogs.
I mean, that is
the most important thing.
I mean, if you're going to throw something that has fest in it, that's a prerequisite.
Agreed.
It goes unset.
Yeah. So. Street Fest is coming up like this. But the point is, though, with all the news, and we'll touch on a few more things, but Livermore summer's turning on, y'all.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Are you ready for it?
Yes, but I'm not ready for, I'm not, is it April? I still feel like it's February. I'm ready for summer.
I definitely feel like it.
Activities.
I can second that. It definitely feels like it's earlier as we encroach May.
Ugh. I think it feels like this every year when we get to this time.
We probably say this every year.
We're I think, and it's not just us. I think it's everyone. Like, I think we all feel like this. We're like, it's April. Are you sure it's not January 30th? Like, are we positive? It just, it goes, I feel like this, like, part of the year goes by so fast. You know, kids are getting ready to get out of school. There's, like, lots of changes that are happening.
It's the time change.
Yeah.
It's like the daylight time savings. Change
too, yeah. Things just feel like they're on fast forward. Still be
recovering from that, by the
yeah.
way. Yeah. But certainly. Hey, a lot of things to be excited about. We'll get to a few more. Altamont Summer Series would have started by now. Hopefully you came by and saw me. Block parties coming up. And
what then, is the Summer Series?
Thank you for asking. So Altamont, prior to the pandemic, used to do things in their parking lot often. As everyone knows, if you live here or are familiar with Altamont, like, they draw a crowd. Their packaging is fun. They are just fun to be around. They're family friendly.
Absolutely.
You know, and when the lights started to turn back on and people were allowed to start, you know, touching one another again, they started, you know, well, doing the parking lot. There's a better way to say that.
No, I think no, so. That was the right one, yeah, actually. Yeah. Sure. keep going.
Ryan Stavert and his team, they started doing it again, and they've been getting bigger and bigger. And this year is going to be great. A stage, 15, 16 different vendors, 4 or 5 different food
so
trucks.
Fun.
6, 7 different bands. It's awesome.
And it's more than one, right? A series.
And it's more. So it's the third Saturday of every month from April to August.
Oh.
From 12 to 7, family friendly. There's no charge. Vendors will be out there every single time. They kind of keep a rotation. I didn't miss the opportunity to get my name on every single one of those. So come see JTM. I'll be there for every single one of them. But it is like a blast all leading up to the block party. July 27th, which is like the big one where everyone does it. It's a good freaking time.
So is Jam in July part of the summer series? Is it the third? Is it different?
It's different than the same. Altamont.
Just bigger?
Altamont, it's bigger. Everyone else participates, and we call it the block party.
I see.
Otherwise, Altamont does it every third Saturday. Everyone participates July 27th.
It's like a one-stop shop.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good time. So,
I think this is what's really fun about Livermore is that there's always something fun to do. I feel like every weekend there's something. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like there's never not something going on.
Never not something going
on.
It's
true.
It's a great town to be in. And really, was last year was a good summer. I mean, farther we get away from the pandemic, the more and more and more.
Summer was great. Yeah.
It was a good summer.
Yeah.
God, what a weird time. But that's enough about the news. Let's get into Jenny.
Hi.
Hey, Jenny, how you doing over there?
I'm
still
doing
got
great.
You. Hopefully you're still listening, everybody. As a reminder, Jenny is the marketing coordinator over at the Wine Growers. We've talked about, you know, wine is the inception of this podcast. In various podcasts, you may have heard us just as the growers, you know, real quickly as we kind of, you know, continue our sentences. But like, they are a bigger entity. And I think we'll just have you start there for all the times we very briefly said the growers, like, what the heck are the growers?
Well, thank you for asking. The Livermore Valley Wine Growers Association is a 501c6 nonprofit.
Okay.
And we help with improving, protecting, and enhancing the quality of the vineyards, wines, and experiences in the Livermore Valley Wine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Livermore Valley Wine AVA. So, mm-hmm. And there's a lot to that. That's a very... not vague sentence, but it goes from within our wineries, we promote, we do marketing, and that's what I do. And then we have education for our wineries. We do advocacy for our region, and we help with quality as well. We help promote, help encourage new wineries. We help them through the process. And we have a lot of members, too, that aren't just wineries. We have restaurant and hospitality affiliate members and affiliates, and we're a small team, but we do a lot to help and support the area.
Two and a half people.
Guys. Yeah.
And they do a great job.
Yeah. Thank you. So, it's an amazing experience, and I love working for them. And, Livermore Valley is such an amazing region besides the town, the wines, everything. Just, I can't boast it enough.
How'd you get into this?
Well,
It's a long story. No,
I'll start at the end.
I love that.
It was in the pandemic. I have 2 kids and ended up kind of having to quit my job to be there to help them with distance learning and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And got really like, what am I going to do with my life? What is the purpose? And randomly at 10 o'clock at night, I was on Indeed. Maybe I'll find something. And I saw the ad for the job. And I was like, wow, that sounds like an amazing opportunity. I think I could do that. I put my phone down. I try to go to sleep. And all of a sudden at midnight.
You stayed up all night thinking about it.
I went on the couch and worked on my resume. I have to do this. What's the worst that's going to happen? They're going to say no. Mm-hmm. And here I am.
What year? That was 2020.
No, that was last year.
Was it last year?
2023.
That was last year.
Oh my God. Where's time?
Yeah. March, like. The end of February was my first day.
So get out of here.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you always want to kind of work in a capacity that had to do with like wine or hospitality, or is that a little bit new for you?
I have been working in hospitality for a very long time.
First Street Ale House, right?
First Street Ale House. Yeah. I've been server for like over a decade. I worked at the Ale House for a decade. Shout out to the Witherspoons.
Hey, she's got her battle scars.
Reese? Just kidding.
She's got. They're part of the family. They're part of the family.
We should start that rumor. Should we like, don't you know that First Street Ale House?
Owned by Reese Witherspoon. Yeah.
Or they're related. Let's brainstorm after.
That sounds good. But before that, I worked at Nordstrom's. Mm-hmm. I think that was really my first hospitality was Nordstrom's. I worked in the men's furnishings in Palo Alto, and learning bending over backwards for customers and the verbiage and all that. And it really just, I don't know. It really stuck with me. I know multiple people that worked at Nordstrom. It's just the way they do their customer service and they handle everything. It stays with you. Mm-hmm. So I've always been into the hospitality, working in the service industry, doing bottle service. I've always enjoyed wine. I've coordinated so many wine trips with friends. So it just kind of was like all these things in my past.
Like a natural progression.
Right. My husband says it's like the Cinderella in the shoe. Like it just fits.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now you're stuck.
And so I'm stuck. Are you a Livermore OG local?
I am born. Well, I've been around. I've been around a lot. Just kidding. I have moved around a lot. I am from Fremont. I lived
another
in
transplant.
Yeah,
you lived in San Luis Obispo.
I lived in San Jose for a little bit. I actually lived in Ohio for 1 year in high school. Yeah. Didn't like it. Came back to California. No Parents way. Were divorced. So I had that opportunity to go here, go there. Mm-hmm. Sophomore year. Went to Washington High School, 2003.
Sorry. Shut up, Jeremy.
Eagles, sorry. Yeah, I know. It's okay. No, we can talk about that later.
we suck. They beat us all the time.
Go Huskies. Go Huskies. But then after that, I went to community college and went down to San Luis Obispo for Cuesta, thinking I want to go to Cal Poly. I got into UCSB and I was like, I'll go there.
Nice.
Did you have a connection? You were going
to
say
it was Cuesta. Yeah. I went to Cuesta.
Oh, really?
I moved down to Islo. Yeah. I went to Cuesta. Same thing. Thinking like, I'm going to go to Cal Poly. And then you kind of look at how expensive it was. And you're like, maybe I won't.
Right. It was.
You're like,
Well, oddly enough, my major was political science. And when I got into UCSB, I was like, their program is just a little bit better. I don't know what it is now. But back then, they had just a more advanced program. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'll do that. So then I went down to UCSB, did that. The recession happened. Second guess being a politician and all that. And
good
so
choice.
Then, yeah, yeah. I know.
Choice.
I think so.
It happens.
And so met my husband, my husband in Santa Barbara, and he's from Livermore. And he is the reason why I am in Livermore.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah. So he gets a little bit of the credit for me being here.
And 13, 14 years later, here we are.
Yeah, that's right.
Making influence and having a blast.
Did you add an ER at the end?
Did you hear that?
Yeah. I was like, okay, accent.
Hello, your parents, you know what I'm saying?
Wait, maybe you should like keep going with, that's a bit that we should follow. It's one of the best accents you've ever had.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Oh, that was good.
It was. You're ready.
Well done.
It's like the first time I've used a soundboard in a year. Okay, and now you're here.
And now I'm here.
And now you're making an impact in the wine country. So you said the opportunity looked cool. What was it about working in wine country and that opportunity? Because like that could have been the marketing coordinator for a multitude of things. What was it about wine country that was like, I think that's kind of cool out there. Let's give that a shot more than just the title.
Well, I think the best example to give, I think I'm too low. I think the best example to give is when I came up here in 2010 with my husband and I started working at the First Retail House, customers would come in from out of town, because back then, that was right when downtown started really booming. Mm-hmm. And the ale house would have like 3-hour waits for people to come in. And so it was a natural progression to be like, hey, are you from the area? Are you local? Oh, you're from out of town. And oddly enough, a lot of people would be like, oh, we're going to go wine tasting today, mm-hmm. but we don't know where to go. And I would immediately be like, I'll be right back. I'd get a piece of paper mm-hmm. and I'd be like, here's my recommendations of where I think you should go mm-hmm. in this order. You do what you want. And this is before people required reservations, you know, mm-hmm. So I think I've always had this natural progression of mm-hmm. admiring Livermore Valley for their wine country and their wine region. I've always promoted it. Mm-hmm. I've had people at my tables being like, oh, we're thinking about moving here. And I'd always be like, this is an amazing area. We have wine. We have amazing wine. So it just felt like a natural progression. Mm-hmm. I've always really enjoyed wine. So I think I grew up with it with my family and when I got old enough to drink it, you know.
Yeah, that's the best part.
Yeah.
That's the best part.
When you're old enough.
That's right.
Get the fuck out of here. It's better when... Never mind. Okay.
When you're old enough to go to wineries.
Wineries.
You know?
Yeah. And then, I mean, 100%. They're like in that wine countries... Not everybody has a wine country. So like it's not a...
Yeah.
It's no surprise that like...
Do you guys remember the first wines that you ever like tried? I remember exactly what the first one I ever tried was.
I remember my first, well, please, I mean, you're the guest. Please go first.
I mean.
And feel free. You're not too loud. Pull it in.
Yeah.
Carlo Rossi, I think, was the first one.
Let's go.
Yeah.
My dad kept it right
a pinky
over
swigger.
Here
yeah.
By his Quaker Oat rice cakes.
And then when I went to UCSB, they would have this game where it was called Sacagawea. And it was a bag of wine.
Yes. Yes.
And you would have to
slap it.
Drink it. And
slap
then
the
and then when someone would slap it, then you'd have to throw it at the person. And if you didn't catch it, then you'd have to drink it. So it was like a whole
slap the bag.
That sounds like a great. Okay. Yeah. That sounds like a great time.
UCSB, Isla Vista.
Yeah. A lot of fun down there.
It was a good time.
Yeah. You guys do it right down there.
What about you?
Me?
Oh, I guess you just said
it. Well, Carlos Rossi was up there. I never liked it back then because, like, I don't think I like it now still.
Yeah.
But that was the wine. That was the wine that you, dad drank Carlos. Big fucking jugs, though. Great. I'd love it now. Just like the look and the nostalgia of that big
jug
of vinegar.
Right.
Shout out to E&J Gallo.
Otherwise, as far as Livermore, fast forwarding a bunch of years, because then it's like, let's drink rum and light beer.
Yeah.
Ravino was my first winery here.
Oh,
and I was young. I had just got a Miata top down.
Was
and
it the same Miata?
Something about the palm trees, bruh.
Yeah.
So fucking California and that beautiful building and the roundabout park under the tree.
With your Miata.
Feeling myself. Yeah. I walk in, you know, great. Hello. The echo's great.
It's like the beginning of a California movie.
It was more the wines were good. They are still good now. And, you know, as your palate continues to get better, you progress. But like Rubino was really honestly like my first wine country experience here in the Livermore Valley. Otherwise, I mean, hospitality, working in food and beverage was.
Right.
But Carlos Rossi. Fuck yeah.
Right.
Let's Carlo. Go.
Carlo.
Yeah.
See, that was, we were probably
Carlos drinking, is his cousin.
We were drinking the off-brand stuff.
I couldn't remember if it was Carlo or Carlo, but you get the idea. It's been a long time since I've had drinking that.
About out there over the hill there.
Well, my aunt was either Cundi, Sauvignon Blanc, or
you started with Cundi?
So you have to remember, I'm the youngest child of like my immediate family. So by
the
time I'm in high school, my parents are like, this one's fine. This one won't break laws. And she seems to have it all together. We can leave her for a weekend to go to Napa and like nothing bad's going to happen. And they were correct. I'm a good fucking kid. It's not a bad kid.
Broken to some Savvy B though.
So they started going to Napa and they're like, well, Savannah needs to be a winemaker. They forgot that I can't do math, which is a very important part of winemaking, let me tell you. And they were like really trying hard to get me to be a winemaker. And at the time, it did kind of make sense too, because I was very agricultural driven. Mm-hmm. I was part of the FFA. I was looking at Fresno and Cal Poly. So they would let me take sips of wine because I also wasn't the kid that was like drinking on the weekends. Like I still don't really drink that much. So
I think like Kundi was one of the, like the wineries that they went to when they first started like going and becoming like wine club members. Mm-hmm. So they had me try the Sauvignon Blanc and I was like, this ain't half bad. It was either that or it was Kendall Jackson's Chardonnay because my aunt had it all the time because she, I don't think she sold them at the time, but my aunt has always been in the distribution business for as long as mm-hmm. I can remember. I don't think she sold them, but she always had Kendall Jackson around.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, so it was either that or Kundi. I'm not a big Kendall Jackson fan.
So, you know, relative to marketing, right? We're sitting here with a marketing coordinator. And like, you know, we've probably not drinking too many of those things anymore.
Oh, no.
But like exactly what we're describing is a topic that they literally like, it may not be our favorite wine, but like our first wine experiences are the big brands that tries yeah. so hard to be in many places, yeah. but especially your first experiences, Kendall Jackson's, the Carlos Rossi's of the world,
yeah.
the Brombauer, if you live in Danville, you know, it's just, it's an interesting that we all kind of said.
Which that's fine. Cause I don't think you want to be the first, you know what I mean? Cause you're definitely not the last. You're the first. In so many regards.
No, which is fair. It's interesting.
That's true.
Yeah. You know, no one's saying
but it is funny. That is a really good point of like, yeah. those are kind of like your first things. I remember when I turned 21, I think my friend, I don't even know if it was Venmo at the time. But somehow she like got me money and like her suggestion of what I should buy was a Moscato.
Right?
Oh, no. Like, she wasn't 21 yet, but like in your mind, you're like, oh, Moscato is great because it's so sweet. And that was like one of the things that she told me to like buy. But it's funny because like that's where our, my mom was very like particular when I turned 21, though. I remember she took me and my brother Sam, who's older than me, she wanted me to, I was like visiting home and she wanted me to do like a good wine tasting. Like she wanted to take me out to like a place we were going to wine taste at. And so she took us up to Napa. And I think my dad was working with the St. Helena school district at the time. So I want to say he had an apartment there. So we like stayed there and we did Alpha Omega.
Nice.
We did Flora Springs and I want to say Hall. Okay. I want to say I remember this. And it was such a great time. But I like Flora Springs being one of the smaller of the ones.
I don't think I've been there.
To this day, still one of the best hospitality experiences I've ever gotten. Like some of the people that work there in the tasting room still work there.
Oh, really?
And I'm 31. And like just the way that like they treated us, the wines were great. It was just such a like fantastic experience. And I think like going and like going out to a region when you're 21 and having somebody take you for like a nice wine tasting is like we need to start that trend. Livermore needs to be come have a nice fancy 21-year-old birthday.
Hey, well, you might be barking up the right tree.
We need to do that because like I just like I can't take that back that experience and
we'll
fun it was.
We'll take it to the marketing meeting. Yeah. San Jose, East Bay, and a 21-year-old birthday party.
Fucked up 21 birthday. Right. Right. We're talking like a nice like
educational.
Yeah.
Right.
Were you 21 when you were in SLO?
I sure was.
Okay. You did the crawl, didn't you?
I sure did.
I also did the crawl. So I had my like 21st birthday like fucked up like version. And then I had my nice,
with the permanent marker.
Oh, yeah. No.
A bull sweat.
Oh.
A blowjob shot. I don't know if we could say that one. Like there's so many fucked up. We'll
I'm
say
so
that towards
glad
the end.
I don't work at a
this
winery anymore. What?
These are not winery. These are bars in downtown SLO. Oh. We can do a little bonus feature if we want. We could like go
we'll
through.
Save that
ones.
One for the midnight series coming up in
that,
Advanced Creative.
There's a story
too.
To that. I don't think they do that anymore.
No,
the bull
they
sweat.
Don't. No,
that's
because like yeah.
Yeah,
I think somebody, there's a guy that goes to our gym. I'll have to ask him. He might be in the gym when I go there later. He just graduated like a year or two ago. And I think like we asked him because he had a Bulls Tavern like shirt. And he told me what it was, but I don't remember what they do anymore.
Oh, yeah. They can't. I don't think they can do that anymore.
Too many
yeah.
people throw on
okay, cool. Good. I'm satisfied.
But a nice 21st year birthday of like wine tasting.
It's
classic.
The one you want to remember, but you just can't.
Can't describe that any better. Because in that moment, I tried to remember mine and nothing came up. there's nothing there. There's a hole there. Okay. So we're, you know, So, I mean, we've talked about a few things, but like in the realm of, you know, we talked about a few beautiful Napa experiences. Like, you know, Miss Jenny, what is, you know, in your guesstimation and not in your experience, What is the Livermore Valley Wine Experience? What does it come to mean to you? You know, you've been here long enough to see many versions of it, and now you're like, you're in it.
I'm in it.
So, like, what is it? And then what are you working towards it being now that you're in the game?
Ooh, that's a good question. Okay. When you were talking about how you went to Napa and you had the three experiences and the smaller one was the most memorable, that is Livermore Valley. Mm-hmm. That is Livermore Valley Wineries. We are mostly boutique, and our experiences and the hospitality and the personable that our tasting room staff and winemakers deliver is just very rare, I think, to find these days. And not hard to find in this area. What are we working towards? I think keeping that essence. We don't want to get away from that. We love the fact that we are, we love to educate people. We love to just invite everybody. Mm-hmm. You don't know anything about wine? Don't be afraid. Come talk to the people at the bar and ask us questions. I don't work in a winery, but that's how, you know, us, the plural us.
Yeah.
The royal us. But
you know them well enough to say that.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of the wineries, you can find the winemaker behind the bar. I mean, pouring your wine. I think that that's an amazing experience, because who wants to talk more about and educate about the wine than the person who passionately put their love, sweat, and tears into this, like, sip that you're taking. What do we want to become? We want to stop being the best known secret.
Yeah. Ain't that the truth, huh?
We want to be us, but, like, you know, well known.
I like that. It's simple, sweet, to the point.
It's simple, sweet, but it leads into my, you know, just the next, it's not the next part of the question, but another bullet point here is, like, growing grapes in the Bay Area is hard. As well.
It's expensive.
It's expensive. Houses,
you think your mortgage is bad.
Yeah. House, the return on houses, spoiler alert, is a lot better than grapes. So it's a tough business. And you know, we are, you know, we've got beautiful, you know, listen to all the episodes if you want to learn more about the South of more, you know, area plan and all that. But it's still a challenging business. We face challenges. In your experience, what would you say, like, what is wine country challenges that we face? You know, maybe some that you see us overcoming sooner than later. But, like, it's not all romance. You know, people usually only engage with wineries over the counter or I Love Lucy. But, like, it's dirty work. It's hard work. You usually smell like grapes and you're covered in red. And it's not as romantic as the books and the movies make it seem.
Right.
So from what you've gathered, what are Livermore Valley's maybe biggest challenges that you see us moving towards getting over, or just, you know, .. It's your question.
Well, I think Livermore as a whole, and one of the things that we're working towards is the lodging. The downtown hotel is in the process of getting built, and I think that's going to be huge for our region and for our city and for tourism. I think that we have the Wine Country Inn that's, you know, looking for funding for lodging. So I think we want people to come and we want them to stay for more than a day. So if we can have places that are more accessible for them, I think that would be a huge thing for us to I don't want to say overcome, because it is something that is .. in the progress of we're working towards. But
it'd be nice if there wasn't curmudgeons in the way.
Don't get us started on that tangent.
Yeah. Okay, fine. That's where we leave it.
I'll step on that landmine.
We're going to leave it there. In fact, we'll cut that out.
No,
no curmudgeons for you.
No, because they.
Nope. We're leaving it. They.
No, don't. But you said something. You said a bunch there, but, like, one thing in particular that we've talked about before, particularly Brandon Cardwell's episodes, is more than a day. You know, there's another bullet point here that says impact of regional tourism, which I want to get into with us and you, but, like, you answered one of them that was on my list, is like the amount of money that people spend when they stay 2 to 3 days is not 2x. It's not 3x.
It's exponential.
It is exponential. And that's what we're going towards for all the reasons.
I want to say it's frustrating, but we have so much to offer in this area, not just Livermore, in the Tri-Valley. So promoting someone to stay more than one day, there's so much to do. There's so much at your fingertips.
And it benefits so many different businesses.
Absolutely. So It's like we have all the pieces. We just need this little piece in the front to get us there.
Yeah, we're working on it, right?
Right.
You all are working on it. Work on it hard. Can you speak with, you know, we've had, you know, the Tracy Farhads of the world on here and whatnot. It's a collaborative, you know, it's a collaborative industry. Well, the question will just be kind of broad, I guess. But like, there's a lot of nonprofits. There's a lot of regional tourism, you know, nonprofits and businesses and entities.
Sure.
How's the collaboration with those entities? Like, you know, there's more than just people. There's groups of people.
Right. Absolutely.
With various acronyms, you know, working towards
the same goal.
The same goal.
We are working together, and it's also trying to work together more.
Mm-hmm.
Visit Tri-Valley. Mm-hmm. I think since I've started, I've worked with them a handful of times, and we have a festival in Santa Barbara that we're working together to get a bunch of our wineries down to. And it's a really fun time. It's called the California Wine Festival, and they do it in multiple spots. In Santa Barbara, and it is a fun, well, I'm working the event, but it is a fun time. It is a fun time.
It's a fun, my winery didn't let me go last year.
It's a fun
when
time.
When is it?
It is July 19th.
Oh, is it?
I don't know if that's for sure. I think it's free.
No, I mean, you can look it up now.
I'll find it.
But
I'll look it up right now.
My point is that we're trying to work together to increase brand awareness of the area.
Do you find, I mean, then there's lots of them from, you know, from LDI, VTV, you know, every city, you know, except Dublin, Dublin isn't real, has a downtown association, you know, Innovation Tri-Valley. Is there a common thread that you guys land on, you know, communally, not just tourism? Well,
I mean, I think we're all working towards the same goal. Mm-hmm. We all have maybe like when you get down to the nitty gritty of the goal, it's a little bit different, but the same goal is to bring people here.
Nailed it.
Oh,
July 19th and 20th.
Hey, that's all the lady who knows her calendar.
Nailed
right there.
It.
Thank you.
We'll see you in Santa Barbara, guys. It is a good time.
It is a really good time. It is fun.
I'm literally checking my calendar.
Yeah. We're going to have the Tri-Valley Alley where it's going to be a whole little area.
Such a great name.
Yeah, it's going to be
July 19th.
It's like you're a marketing person.
I sure am. And if you're out of town, come visit us. It's a great time.
That's a good, and that's, and that's one especially. VTV is another regional tourism entity with a slightly different focus relative to how they make their money. But they do a lot of I personally love the things they do to bring traffic for us as industry people to keep us. I don't want to say keep us interested, but keep us fueled and engaged and whatnot. That team over there, shout out. VTV team. VTV. Yeah, that word.
VTV.
VTV. Did I say that right?
Yeah, that was right.
Because you ladies and few gentlemen are kicking butt. So
yeah, to answer your question, I think we're working towards something big, and that's all I can say at the moment. But we're working together, and we're trying to bring more awareness to our region because I mean, there's people in San Jose who don't even know that where Livermore is on the map. And I mean, I have to be honest, when I met my husband and in Santa Barbara and we were talking about where you're from, I was like, oh, I'm from Fremont. And he's like, oh, I'm from the East Bay. I was like, oh, where are you from? And he's like, I'm from Livermore. And I laughed so hard in his face. I was like, Livermore is not the East Bay. And he's like, yes, it is. We're like as close or as east as you can get. And I was like, whatever. Da 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 da. Now I live here, and yes, Livermore is the East Bay,
100%.
And we are, it is way different from when we grew up in Fremont. Like, it's a totally different town, but it's incredible, and I think more people in the Bay Area deserve to know where we are.
Yeah, we've said it multiple times, and maybe I call it, it's the last frontier in my eyes as far as what's left of, like, good old-fashioned Bay Area. Otherwise, where do you find open space like this?
Right.
That is
easily
accessible to people, not preserved for just animals and shit, which is beautiful, but like it's ours too. You know what I'm saying? Like where? Like, that's actually
a question.
I think it
comes to like responsibility because it's also being taken care of. Mm-hmm. It's very like thoughtful here.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny though too, because I think we talk about it all the time, like in relation to how fast Livermore has grown from what it used to be. I'm not from here, so I can't really speak to it. But I do remember the first time when I was in SLO, and there's a girl that I met from who the fuck knows South Bay. I don't know. And I think I forgot what it was. I think we were visiting my brother and my sister-in-law or something like that, because my sister-in-law is from here. And I think I referred to it as like part of the Bay. And she was like, no, it's not. She's like, it's the Valley. And I was like, actually, somebody from the Valley? It's definitely not from, it's not in the Valley. And then I was like, it's not the Valley. And I was just like, you know how if you go down the Altamont and you drop all the way down, that's the Valley, dog. And I like went hard on it. I don't know why I was so protective of Livermore for no reason.
You should, dude, if there was
some foreshadowing right there.
Yeah. If there was only like, if I could like pick the tone of my Grammarly setting into like Savannah.
You can't actually.
So it was like, no, it fucking sucks. That's so good. Okay. So are you an adventurous eater? Would you say you're in a somewhat adventurous eater?
So funny you would ask that. Last year, my New Year's resolution was to try something new. Even if I didn't like it, force myself to try it. So yes. And it was so, I was so successful last year. It's it's ongoing now.
Okay, what were the things that you tried?
I tried escargot for the first time.
Ooh, that's tough. That's
at tough the one. Santa Barbara Wine Festival, actually, oddly enough.
July 19th, this year, 2024.
And there's a...
Support Tri-Valley Alley.
But yeah, and so the night before, there's a VIP where there's like a little more intimate. And one of our wineries there has, a head chef, Kurt.
Oh, yeah.
And he's...
Kurt, sorry, I'll let you finish.
So he comes over to, I'm with the Visit Tri-Valley ladies, we're trying the different wines, and he comes over and he said, the escargot over there is the best I've ever had, and I've had it in France. And because I heard it was there, and I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to try it. And I was like, well, now I have to try it. Now I have to try this.
If you've ever tried the best, then you'll know for sure whether you don't like it or not.
Right. And I'm having someone else who is a very good chef to tell me that it is the best. Yeah. So I was like, I have to go do it. So I did. I stood in line hesitantly. I had it. I took a picture of it. I imagine what it's like for my kids to try new foods and how scared they are. And I was like, you could do this. And I did. And I was like, wow, that was really good. Okay. I would do that again.
I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah. So I am becoming an adventurous eater.
Okay.
Escargot is the one
escargot
where like,
is up there, yeah.
I can't get out of my head about it. I can't get, I've tried it before. I think at like a Ruth Chris steakhouse and it doesn't like, there's nothing wrong with it. It doesn't taste bad. It's just that like, I know it's a snail. And I see those guys when I walk by, and I grew up in FFA, so like I also see animals and I have no problem eating them. I don't know. It's so stupid.
It's
there's no logical reason behind why I can't get out of my head
it's
about it.
It's culture and society and what's embedded. But you know what? It was covered in like garlic and pesto. And
it tasted just like that.
It was delicious.
Was it in the shell or out?
It was in the shell.
See,
so it was a whole thing.
I wonder if it was out of the shell for me, if I'd be able to.
Maybe.
You just
out of sight, out of mind.
Don't think about it until it happens just like that. And then you're like, because that actually had a similar experience.
I eat some fucked up shit and I don't know why I can't eat escargot.
With a snail in particular in my wife and I's Malaysia trip last year. It was sea snails though.
Oh.
And they ordered a big plate of them and man, did they smell good. But then you're like, oh, cool. Those are snails. All right. Yeah. No, I'm good. Thanks.
And like, so you feel like anything that comes out of the sea, I'm like, oh, I'll eat that.
Yeah. Until,
yeah, same.
But like, if it's in my garden, I apparently won't eat
if
it.
If they didn't tell me it was a snail,
I probably
would have thought it was a snail and eaten it and just been like, okay. But like, no, it's a snail. I was like, cool.
Because they
thanks.
Said it.
And like, I'm an adventurous eater.
Did you try it?
I tried it. Okay. I tried a bunch of them.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with them,
there's
right?
There's nothing wrong with them.
But it's more so of like, if I can't get the enjoyment, if I can't get, if the knowledge like gets in the way of the enjoyment of it, then what's the point of me eating it? I can get my calories elsewhere.
So like, I would say, and like, they're kind of the same. I'm an excitable eater and then adventurous.
I see.
And I think people see me get excited and they're like, try this and try this.
Oh no.
You should try this. And I'm, get spicier. And I'm like, God, like, take it easy. I'm just like happy to be here. But the point is, you're an adventurous eater. And like, Livermore's got a long way to go relative to adventurous eater.
But where we are now to where when I first got here, holy moly.
And that's the question. Yeah. So the food culture here in Livermore has always, like, one thing I think it's generally always been because of just the nature of the agricultural history here is like food has not come, you know, from too far. You've eaten food from very close proximity.
Mm-hmm.
We've always been a town of good food.
Right.
Good beef. Good vegetables. But like now you see the range lives in the wing. I just clean ramps for the past hour and a half, which are amazing. Not weird by any means, but like if you saw a ramp on a menu and didn't know what it was, you probably wouldn't order it.
What is a ramp?
It's this. It's like an onion meets garlic meets shallot.
And it's in its younger.
It's stage, younger. It's hyper seasonal. Oh. It happens once a year. It takes an hour and a half. It's this fucking diva that comes out of the ground.
Yeah. Just like that.
Is it the top of the garlic or the onion?
It looks exactly like that, but like young, it looks like young green garlic.
But not cut you like the whole thing.
But the whole thing, and like more leafy than it is kind of firm onion.
Yeah. So you're saying I need to go to Wingham Bakery to figure this out.
Okay. Get,
as soon as you can. I think they might be, don't quote me. Well, this could come out 2 weeks later. I think they might be using it on pizzas. But they're like so
Today's
delicious.
Today's
Friday.
I just remembered it's Today pizza night.
So, Wingham Pizza Night.
Wingham Pizza Night.
Let's go, guys, right after this.
Well, I mean, it's Tuesday when you're listening to this, hopefully, because we release this.
Losers!
But, like, how would you describe your enjoyment of the progression of the food scene, and take that wherever you need to, whether it's just fun, the importance of it, how you and your family treat that, you know, food culture progression in Livermore while you've been here?
Well, I think food has always been really important. Food's important. We can get into the whole culture. But for my husband in particular, he is a huge foodie. He has a really good palate. He's a really good chef. He comes from a family of, his grandmother was a pastry chef. So,
oh, wow. Oh, yeah, you sent me a few good photos.
Yeah, he can make pastry. Like, my husband can, like, so food is a big deal. So coming here with him, we've always enjoyed food. We've always enjoyed. But I think from when we started in 2010 to now, I really feel like Range Life has just changed the downtown culture completely.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with like the Ale House. Obviously, I have such a love for them. And Sauced, there's always a need for those fast places and, you know, quick food and just.
And a different vibe.
And a different
too.
Vibe. Yeah. Absolutely. But Range Life just elevated our area so much. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we have Sons of Liberty that is also like an elevated, ale house. I mean,
I had go ahead, Finn.
I'm so excited to see. I think when the press came from the Pleasanton and then added a place to here as well, I mean, having more farm to table, more like love put into the food, those little details.
Yeah.
One place that I'm really excited to try is Cured Fish Bar. Hey. I need to get there now.
Have you been yet?
No. That's why
we're
going to
do
get there
a
now.
Tour tonight.
Come on. I know. I got to
hear
get
me
ready.
Out for the tour. Hear me out for this for pitch, guys. My friends were just there 2 weeks, 2 weekends ago. 2 weeks ago on a Thursday. Had a great time. Yeah. Had a great time.
Yeah. Food looks beautiful.
Story Coffee, Jimmy and Katie are a really big fan. They're doing things.
Yeah,
it rounds out Maple Street, which is lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't want to leave out the Cheese Parlor because he's incredible. Yeah.
There's so many.
And then Lokanda. Okay, but if you go back to when we first got here in 2010, Uncle Yu's and Sansar, and those were like the... You know, and Kawa Sushi, which isn't here, and Roppongi, like those were our spots for downtown. You know, and besides that, we would go kind of out of town to get other food. But now it's like I don't feel like I need to go out of town to get food. There's so much variety here now.
That's my biggest thing is when somebody gives me an out of town recommendation, I'm like, why'd you waste my time? Right. I'm for in town because we don't have to leave. That's a really good point.
And I wholeheartedly agree with that sentiment and just kind of rounding it back to a point we made earlier about that fucking shopping center that needs something better than the nothing that it is now.
Public market.
A public market. And we have a tremendous farmer's market. Thursday farmer's markets just are, you know, are back now.
Popping off.
Right.
But like the variety in restaurants and offerings and options from price point as well as quality. Are wonderful now, but like I think the next step is having something a grocery store that I can go to 7 days a week to find those things, not just have to sit down at a restaurant and pay the whole bill.
Agreed.
Or wait for Sundays and Thursdays to go grocery shopping.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say.
That's on you, dog.
All
right. I'll be there. I'll help support, but that's on you,
Savannah's
dog.
Savannah's about to take down baked potatoes.
Oh, my God. Fuck yeah. You know I fuck around with a baked potato.
I'm Irish, so I mean, give me a potato.
Yeah, I mean, baked potato. I saw this, you know, fucking.
Also,
meme.
For those of you who don't know, the Irish potato famine wasn't potato famine. It was fucking England being shitty people. I just want like history writing it correctly. Thank you.
Look into it.
I would say that, you know, before we could come stay in town, besides those like three or four places I said, we would just make food ourselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like, why go travel to Walnut Creek for a good steakhouse when we could just go get steak locally and make them at home? So it's nice to kind of have now, I feel like we have more options.
Mm-hmm. Do you, and it doesn't have to be forever. Do you have a favorite right now?
My favorite restaurant right now?
Right now.
I really love La Conda.
Okay.
I really do. And I really love Range Life, but I think... Yeah.
Right now, nothing wrong with right. I'm just talking right now because, like,
I wish I could go to Range Life more, but for right now, because I have two kids and the price point, La Conda I do really like La Conda.
La Conda is a crushable vibe too,
right? And their drinks are fun.
But like, that's what I mean. Like, I feel like when I'm there, like I'm there for a hot sec, mm-hmm. and I'm crushing drinks with whoever is like there, and we're snacking. Do you know what I mean? Like to me, it's the wine bar vibe.
Right.
And when you have little ones, having something that's a little bit easier like that, I get it.
Well, I don't take them to there.
No, they don't get to go. No, I feel that horrible.
The sense that like you have a limited amount of time, but then you could also maybe extend the time. Yeah. Like you can't just like in the middle of Range Life be like, oh shit, like I guess we gotta go because babysitters got like.
I feel it because like every day of the week, Range Life is the best restaurant in Livermore for me. But like I love me some Sons of Liberty right now. They are just doing it for me. I know,
they really are.
And it's especially because I had to humble myself because one, when you hear that Sons of Liberty coming in, it's like cool burgers. In a space that wasn't terribly successful prior.
Right.
And they have done nothing but like shove my foot in my mouth.
Wait, I have a question for you. Had you been to the San Leandro one before?
I have, yeah.
I was kind of like, but now that I've been to the one here, I'm like, oh, okay. I'm so sorry. I take back. I'm so happy.
They are doing
the one in San Leandro is cool too. Like they kept, like they have the same mirrors with the cocktail recipe and stuff. And their stuff there is good, but I think the Livermore one's better.
Yeah.
Personally, I think it's way better.
It is. And
I haven't been, and I agree.
I went to a winemaker dinner at the Honeycomb Lounge.
Yes.
Oh, that looks so sexy.
Oh, my goodness. And then the chef came out and impressive. So impressive. Everything was so incredible. It was McGrail. Yeah. It was like their first one. It was McGrail. It was like in January. It was like right around my birthday. I'm all, this is what I'm doing for my birthday.
Good for you.
And it was... Nice. Like, I cannot wait for the next winemaker dinner that I can do there when I'm available.
Yeah.
No, it's so we'll exciting have to have all these stuff. Places.
We got to get them on here.
Yeah.
Because Sons of Liberty,
honestly, though, Teresa's busy. The girl's busy.
Well.
We may have to grab one for managers.
That's girl's cool. Busy. Who do we got to know? All right.
Zach?
Is he big fella?
Okay. Yeah.
That's Zach?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's get Zach, bro. He's great.
He is great.
He's great.
He is great.
So let's get him. I
Shout
want some
to Arthur, the bartender there. He's also tight.
Yeah. No. So Range Life every day of the week. But like, no. Yeah. Sons of Liberty.
It's also just nice that we have just so many other things now. Yeah. More things are coming in. And I think.
It's a good time.
Yeah. And it also like almost holds people accountable. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
There's more diversity.
Like when you see other people doing their thing, you're like, oh, like I got it. Right.
I love that.
Yeah. Because
we can take that to, I don't want, like we
to me,
that
it holds you accountable in so many different ways because one, it's, I love diversity of everything, but also it's just like, well, if they're out there doing their best, I can't fucking slack. And so I need to go and do my best. And it pushes everybody the boundaries. It's that competitive edge.
That is not wrong at all. The way I hear that in my head is like,
it's accountability.
It's accountability.
Yeah.
And that's 100% true. Same thing, but different. I think it sets a standard because now your consumers.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, we're on the same page. We're on the same page.
We're just saying it differently.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And like now the consumers are like, well, this was good, but like, have you guys been to Sons of Liberty yet? And like, it just sets
and
a new
it's standard
that
volley
and
back and forth. Yeah. Yeah.
Where people are like, no, guys.
Now
like,
you're known for
I know
certain
you're
thing.
Tired or I know, like, no, it's time. And that's so. Yeah. Wine country.
Yeah.
As you guys have known, I love me some wine country. I've been in wine country. I'll answer some wine country challenge. One of the things that people, we've Some people have said, you know, quality relative to experience and wine have been some of our weaknesses. And that has completely changed, and we're getting better and better and better. But like every year that, you know, comes out, you know, Taste Our Terroir, Taste is coming up here soon, which we want Jenny to talk about. This is, you know, this is giving the growers their flowers, you know, and the ladies, you know, wine country is on its way in a new and exciting way. Selling grapes in the Bay Area, that is still a tough challenge.
Right.
Wine growers aren't going to figure that out anywhere. For anybody. That's not going anywhere. But the level and the elevation of events, and just on how I've seen the organization run, especially in this new change, which Jenny can speak to probably better than I can right now, as far as what they focus on, has allowed them to do their jobs better.
Absolutely.
Because the old version was not working. Tell us about that recent change.
So what Jeremy's talking to, and I don't know if it was working or not before, because I was not there. But before we had in 2021, the Wine Heritage District got established. And so what that is now is that wineries within the Livermore Valley AVA, 2% of their gross DTC, direct-to-consumer sales, go to the association. Before that, the association was getting money for their by events. So to get money to promote the area was through events. Now we have one signature event, which Jeremy's talked about with Taste. We get to focus more on promoting the area instead of just focusing the area through events, events are amazing and great, but it is really, I think, productive for us to, there's so much to do, especially with social media and the way the marketing has expanded in the last 5 years. To have one signature event that we like can put all of our heart and love into, it's elevated. It's an amazing event. It's I feel very underrated and having the Wine Heritage District has really just changed the region and has helped us, I think, in association. From I've heard from multiple people, is just be way more productive and just cross more things off our list.
Yeah. And now that she said that, to like expound upon it. So like, and it kind of plays back to setting the standards and the accountability conversation we just had, is like they were stuck being event coordinators for everybody.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's not why people are paying their dues, but you do that for 26 years and that's what you're angry about. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the pandemic.
But it's also like, it was a way, I think, for the only way for them to really bring in money, for Wine Heritage Districts, for, wine regions, where I just found out, is that Temecula and Livermore were the only ones that have.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. And now there are other wine regions in California are trying to follow suit.
Interesting.
So there's a lot of other regions that see. Yeah, that's right. That see the fact that like, right? it's a more effective process of being
more sustainable too.
Exactly. 100%. Yeah. More efficient to promote an area when you're focusing on the area versus focusing on event.
And now wineries are pressed to do more of their part. And yes, it's challenging. It's not easy for Rosa Fiera, a one woman show, to be the marketer, the winemaker, show up to all the meetings. It pushes the wineries to hold themselves accountable and press for the standards of whoopty whoopty whoop so that they can market and do beautiful things.
But also, I feel like, I mean, I'm definitely being hired is because of the Wine Heritage District. We offer so much support for the smaller wineries for marketing. I do social media office hours. Like there's ways that we're able to offer support for everyone to help them, because a lot of the one man or woman show, it is hard. It's overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
kudos.
The best is yet to come. And I think, standards is what got us there. But we're excited. Like I said, grapes are still expensive. That's another problem for all of us to figure out. But we are headed in the right direction. We got to Taste. We talked about what it is, but like Taste. Let's go.
Get into it.
Okay. So Taste, the Livermore Valley Wine Experience, is the official name. And it's our signature event. It's a 4-day exclusive food wine extravaganza. It starts off on Thursday night with Taste Our Terroir, and that has been going on for a very, very, very long time. Taste Our Terroir is a food and wine pairing competition. We get three esteemed judges to come, and of the 12 to 14 teams that we have, five of them get awarded, two by the public. And it's elegant. It's decadent. Everyone brings their A game for the food and wine pairing competitions. And last year was incredible. And then after Thursday, we have Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of like taste exclusive events. And last year we had about 15, 16 events. We're in the process of planning those events now. But they're collaborative events. All the wineries come together. There's stuff that you wouldn't normally see in wine country. And just kind of really just, it's during harvest, which is a beautiful time of year. And it really just elevates. And if you want to know what Livermore Valley is about, taste is, if you can come one time a year, October, taste is the best, like, little dip to experience what we're about.
You guys get David Glancy, Master Somme, to come, right? To taster. No, I think he did.
Did he?
To Taster Terroir? He came to something, maybe. He's been a judge here before because I was at.
That's the name.
Classic. I was at Story.
That's the name that
I was at Story Coffee, and I've taken classes from David at the San Francisco Wine School.
Yeah.
Maybe. And I was sitting there, and I was like, that guy looks familiar. And I can't remember what was on his shirt, but I was like, David Glancy?
Yeah.
He was like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, hi, it's Fan. I was like, I took one of your classes. Like, why
are you doing
like, what are you doing here? And I think he was here for one of those, like, for a judging event. And he was like, I try and go. He's like, I hope they ask me every year. Like,
oh.
And I thought that that was really cool and exciting.
That's good insight.
I'll double check.
Because David Glancy is a master somm who, and I'm abbreviating the story, went and did his own thing and created the San Francisco Wine Academy.
The San Francisco Wine School.
And he's been training people, master somm.
His classes are really great. If I can make an endorsement, I've taken two classes from them. And one of them was like an online one, and the other one was a two-day in-person like somm prep one. And they're fantastic. The people that they have over there are fantastic. It's great. He's the only master sommelier that is also a certified wine educator through SWE. Yeah, and I really like the SWE as a credential program, but he's awesome. He's a great guy, and he likes supporting local. He's always represented. He's always said Uncle Yu's is like a great, like, that's always been a wine menu thing that he's kept.
And the restaurant isn't there anymore, but he partnered in a restaurant opening in Danville. So he's familiar and likes this area.
Okay. Let's hit him up. Let's hit him up. Let's hit him up, guys.
Let's get him on the podcast.
He's a very
let's
nice guy.
Let's have him blind taste us and just mollywop us. That would be great.
He's very nice. He's actually one of those like master sommeliers where he's not a prick and he's not a dick at all. Nice.
No, I want to make me feel ashamed and feel bad.
No, I love him. And you know what? I love him as an educator. And what I mean by a prick and not a dick, I mean like he doesn't sexually assault people, believe that or not.
Wow.
You know what I mean? He doesn't do shit like that. And he's not like this power trippy guy. Yeah. You know, basic normal human behaviors. He's
right.
David Glancy. Yeah, he's a nice guy.
No, that's a name to write down. But we were talking. So taste is it's coming up, and it's an exciting time. You've been a part of two now.
No, one.
Last year was
my first one.
Dude, why do I feel like you've been here for like 6 years?
Because last year was like so. It was a big year. It was like I got hired, and we hit the ground running. Fast and hard. I'm in charge for the entire event. So I am the event coordinator, everything. I mean, we have our PR team. We have a lot of entities to it. But yeah, it is my baby. And I learned a lot last year. And this year is going to be.
I bet.
I'm so excited.
Do you guys do any other type of like funding outside of, and I don't know if this has to do with being a 501c6. But are there any other ways that, if people wanted to support some of these things?
Like, well, I mean, we're always looking for sponsors. Like for our taste event, I reach out to a handful of sponsors. Last year, we got BMW to be one of our sponsors. Nice. So that was really, really big. It was really awesome. We have sponsorship opportunities annual for the association. People can become members, which is great for them because we're able to do brand awareness for them. It's great networking. They get to be involved with some of our events and be part of a members. It's like a kind of a win-win situation. So there's definitely other ways. We're also brainstorming some other, not like events. Taste is for sure our signature event, but we're brainstorming maybe we can do a little bit more. What else can we do? We're always thinking outside of the box.
A little bit more. Maybe it's the blue light behind you. Is that a thing this year, or was that last year and super cool?
That was last year and super cool. I am still in the, I have some really good ideas for this year. I haven't approached BMW. I'm going to see if they're interested again, but
I'm about to say, like,
I have some really good ideas for,
if BMW, like, have them pull up a car and, like, I don't want to say replace the 360 selfie booth, but like taking pictures next to a Beamer in the elevator.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Smells like leather. Have you guys seen those ridiculous? Never mind. We don't need to go.
I'm feeling a nice ball event with a auction.
We do have the wine auction, and that's different. That's a different entity than the Wine Growers Association. We do have the wine, the Livermore Valley Wine Foundation, and that is the wine auction. They're different. However, once a year they do a huge auction, and it's supporting nonprofits that help support youth. Mm-hmm. And oh, that's cool. It is really cool. And last year was my first year, and it was just, I can't put into words just how generous our community is for supporting the beneficiaries from last year.
And what specifically about like the youth? Just like,
so last year we had Open Heart Kitchen. There was one beneficiary that was called Fostering Wishes. And what they do is they help children who are fosters. When they go into their homes, a lot of times they have their stuff's just thrown.
They don't have luggage. Yeah. They don't have any bags.
And so they provide them with luggage, backpacks with like toothbrushes and the stories.
Human necessities, yeah.
They went up and talked, and we were all in tears. It was just the people giving themselves and just putting themselves out there and helping other people. It's amazing. And the fact that we have that happening in our region, I didn't know about it until I got hired, that was something that's been going. This is the 30th year. This year will be the 30th year. And I didn't know about it.
Do they always change the beneficiary organization?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
I just feel like anytime you tell upper middle class people of like, we're going to put something on where you can dress up, they're like, I don't care what it is. I'm coming with my checkbook and I'm getting dressed up. And they're like, yeah, we'll do it. Like, I get it. I want to get dressed up for no fucking reason.
Let's go.
Give money to people. I don't got a lot, but I want to do it. Like, here we go.
I want to hold the paddle.
Yeah.
I want to hold the paddle.
People want to do stuff like that.
It's a good time. It's a great way to give back.
It's a great way to give back, especially because it's focused usually in the Tri-Valley.
Yeah.
Nonprofits. And so
like, I'm not there yet. Maybe one day, fingers crossed. But like usually the best of them, you know, you make enough money and you generally give back in some capacity.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope so.
Whether that's in trickles throughout the year or like the exciting dinner where you hold up a paddle and go big. Like, that's a good time for the people spending money as well. Like, I want that's fucking mine.
It's exciting. People want to do it.
That the region and wineries and venues are giving are fun things to kind of battle for. You know, Almost Famous last year gave the entire venue
with
a band and like dinner and like, it's a $15,000 experience. Like,
when that was getting auctioned, it was intense. Like, I was standing around and trying to take like live footage for social media, and people were fighting over that.
That's what I like to see.
Quote unquote fighting, but
violence.
People were, and I mean, when the person finally won, everyone cheered. It was like so.
That's fun. That's exciting.
Yeah, it's hard to put into words unless you're there. It's a really amazing experience.
In the meantime, I'm just like fighting for the last Bliss bagel at Wingin.
No, for sure, I get that. I get that.
So one day, but like that put like
I
it's been going on for 30 years.
And this morning that was free. So
Livermore, if there's one challenge we can get over sooner or later, is like we're done being the secret.
We're just not the secret.
You're right.
Yeah.
Starts with the verbiage. Come see us. We're right here.
We're wine tasting as it should be.
Hey.
I like that one.
You better believe it.
I had to throw that in there.
You better believe it. Okay. So we're cruising. We got about we got a little bit left here. Told you it happens fast.
Yeah, it does.
This is actually what should locals know? In the realm of this, a conversation is like, is there anything that this conversation has brought up and like, what should we know? What should we be excited about? What's on Jenny's mind? what should people listening right now, what should we know, whether it's wine country or just that? What should we know?
Sorry to interrupt you.
No, that was it.
For wine country, I think what people should know is that as a community, we're always coming together and trying to figure out how can we make things better? How can we improve? And wineries are always thinking, how can we make experiences more fun? How, not just to bring people in, but they really want you to come and feel like, wow, that was amazing. I had so much fun. I feel like at home there. And so that, just have that in the back of your mind, that we're, that's just always something that we're trying to do. Personally, I'm excited that we have this event in Livermore, Two Day Town's coming back. I am so excited for Two Day Town. Yeah.
Oh, what is it?
Oh, man.
Two Day Town is a local camping, like music.
It's in Del Valle, right?
It used to be in Del Valle. It's somewhere else now. I don't know where it is, but we already bought our passes. We're going. I'm so excited.
What? You already bought your passes?
Yeah. It's like, you better do
it fast.
Breaking news. They're selling out fast, I'm sure.
Get out of here.
And no tickets at the door because of the way where it's at. But like Crawdad Republic plays there, the Mondays. I don't know who else is playing there. But
it is a hoot.
It is so much fun.
Pretty sure Dave Raver.
Dave Raver has, will yes, be really there. Great, he doesn't yes, miss
has
it.
Really great stories every time we're over about that.
So yeah. Two Day Town is a Leave No Trace family-oriented camping and community music festival. It will be held June 20th through 23rd this year. We will be enjoying a new location this year at the Rancho Los Mochos in Livermore Hills.
There it Dave is. Raver will not there be there this year.
Is that what where will he be?
I don't know if I can say.
Oh, he just won't be available. That's fine.
He's not going to be available.
He won't be available.
Now I'm looking at you. I'm like, do you know what I know? I don't think you know what I know. We're going to cut this part.
We're going to cut this part. We'll talk about it later. No, that's great. I didn't realize I was coming back.
Yeah, I'm very, very excited.
This is why we do this. So we're in the know. I got to look this up.
Yeah, this is going to be a good time. It's going to, and the way it was.
How do you feel about your own regular segment where you actually just do the news for us? Right. We never get to it.
If you would have me back for the news, I would be honored.
Come on.
I know lots of things.
That's all right. Well, then we might hold you up to that. We're looking for a few news segments.
But it's a really good time. Bring your family. Come with your friends. I mean, you can find your group. And I'm so excited coming back.
Oh, that's...
It sounds like a great time.
Yeah, it is the best.
It's a similar drive, too. So it still feels like you're getting out. Oh, cool.
Where is it? What's the location?
It's up Mines Road. So it's not Del Valle, but like it still feels... It's up there.
Interesting.
It still feels like
is
you're...
Is it associated with a specific park?
It's Los Mochos. What I probably am like sure of, because it's a park, is like it's managed by the Livermore Valley Parks and Recreational. Gotcha. So like it is a local park that... They have showers and restrooms and blah, blah, blah. And
right.
I haven't been there, but it's right up Mines Road. It's not Del Valle, but it's still like the same experience. If you were driving out there, it's still Two Day Town. It's out there. That's a good time.
I heard the grapevine, and I don't know if this is true. You're welcome. You're welcome.
Thank you.
That this year that they're only allowing originals. Before it would be, you know.
Oh.
But the bands that would play, I mean, when I've been before, I've just been... they're incredible, very talented. Talk about Livermore. We have so much local talented musicians in this area.
Yeah, we do.
Holy moly. Like, why are we not a music like hotspot? We are. We're just an unknown. We're an unknown wine region. We're an unknown amazing community. And we're an unknown like music hotspot. So Two Day Town really just like highlights that locale.
Two Day Town is back.
Yeah.
June 20th through 23rd. Tickets are $100 for the weekend.
Yeah.
You can camp. It's a good time. Come spend your monies, your hard-earned monies with us, because you're going to spend it anyway, and you might as well spend it here. We'll make you feel good, I promise. We promise. So we're kind of getting towards the end of it. I got two things left for you.
Okay.
One is moment of gratitude.
Okay.
We're going to end with that.
All right.
For that.
Okay.
Is your ideal weekend in Livermore.
Okay.
When you got a day off, kids or no kids, it's your ideal weekend. What's the route? What are you doing?
I thought about this.
Heck yeah.
I'm excited to share this. Well, this is, I wake up, we wake up and, we take the kids for a walk to downtown. From where I live, it's about 20 minutes downtown. So it's fun. It's fun. We go to Wingham Bakery because why not? It's delicious and it's amazing.
Absolutely.
Gotcha.
Pastries and coffee. Probably the kids. My favorite pastry is like that chocolate
croissant.
The Kuyama or the croissant? Yeah, or
No.
The Quinoa?
That one.
The hockey puck? It's nice.
Wait, what is it?
It's the
hockey puck?
Yeah,
that's the one where you like, not the Queen of Ma. Is it the Queen of Mom?
The chocolate one?
Yeah.
New England does a chocolate one.
Yeah. It is like...
dark and lovely.
Amazing. Okay, so... oh.
No, you're good. I almost... never mind. Keep going.
So Wingham Bakery, pastries and coffee with the kids. Probably they'll convince us to walk around and go to Mozart. And if it's hot, we'll go to the fountain. I love that part of the downtown. Mm-hmm. Come back home. Probably do some yard work, get some things done. Feel good about accomplishing something, right?
Heck yeah.
But my ideal weekend is date night, going back downtown, dinner at Range Life.
There it is.
If I could do back a full circle, Range Life is such a like date night spot for me. And it's kind of rare because we have the kids. So mm-hmm. if I could, my favorite spot is like Lacan is easy to go to, but like mm-hmm. date night, always. I'm like, let's go to Range Life.
Heck yeah.
Maybe for like entertainment, some music, maybe a movie at the Vine Cinema. Maybe the MC, but I really love the Vine. Mm-hmm. Drinks, dancing, and walk back home.
Dancing?
Love it.
Hold up, wait. Where do you dance? Where do we dance in Livermore?
I mean, there's Rebel Kitchen.
Okay.
And
I have a dream of an old-fashioned dance hall.
Where like people here. Just show up to
there,
dance?
There used to be
like,
fire
I'm
and
talking
ice.
Like I'm talking like the Western dance hall. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Do you know what I'm, like, I have, like, I just think that would be so fun.
You had me a dance
so
hall.
Fun.
I just, like, I'm sorry. I
you
want,
should rent
I
out
saw,
the barn.
Yeah.
I don't.
Have your own.
I saw John Travolta parachute pants.
No, I think that's fun. That feels, that. But, like, you know what? I just, to me, like, Heritage Livermore sounds like country western dance hall.
Oh.
Friday night.
I
don't
line dance, though.
Yeah, you do. You no, just don't know you don't.
I want to hit the cha-cha slide.
You don't
want to break this shit down.
You don't want to two-step and throw Erica around?
Garbage day is Tuesday for me. I'm trying to
dump it. Is
it
because it's your Achilles?
No,
I'm
ready to
go. Because it's not very strong. Because Nicole and I can fuck up a two-step.
Line dancing ain't dangerous enough for me.
Tell that to your Achilles.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, God, we're reckless.
I don't know where else there's dancing, but Rebel is where I go.
Rebel does have dancing.
But, like, you bring dancing. That's also the answer. Like,
I mean,
you bring it wherever you go.
If it's in
the
yes, I always, forever.
I love that.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, because I love that. And I like dancing, but.
Have you ever two-stepped?
Sister. Come on now. You ready?
Answer the question, Jeremy.
Yes.
For the record.
But
you're
like,
telling
my
me that doesn't sound
my
fun?
My dialect of two-step might be different than yours.
Probably. Mm. I'm talking Texas two-step.
See.
Okay.
I'm not.
Okay. We're talking about different things.
And I was thinking Sierra two-step. One two-step.
Oh,
Missy Elliott.
Oh,
see, there's a like my two-step.
Two-step.
Let me.
Wait, would it not be fun if we created like a little like diagram of like the different two-steps?
No, they did. It was first YouTube video
out.
That went viral. Is
hear
that white guy doing
free...
all of the, he went through every generation. You guys remember that, right? That was a great video.
I don't.
That was like popular dance trends.
Oh, sorry.
Hear me out. With all of our free time that we all have, apparently, let's just come up with a nice, you know,
This year's mixer is going to have a dance element.
Okay.
It's a done deal.
Done.
It's a done
deal. Parachute pants. It's going to be disco because everyone discos. Disco's the best.
Everybody does disco.
It's
that's
the best.
True.
Look, there's not a lot of things, especially these days where like as Americans, we can all just like meet in the middle. But like if you have a problem, you may not like disco music. Fine.
Okay.
You may not look
Who
good.
Who doesn't? But okay.
You may not look good in disco garb. I get it. It's tight. It's a vibe. You know what I'm saying?
It's not about this.
But if you have a problem with how you feel in a disco hall, it's you. It's not the hall.
I think a good example is Dua Lipa. So many of her bass lines is so very disco.
Yeah,
and
true,
so
it's fun.
She and like and Lizzo.
I do love a disco night. Maybe
Beyonce's
that's,
Renaissance. Disco, that,
okay.
disco, disco.
But you're going to tell me that you're not going to two-step to some Cowboy Carter?
Oh, well...
Wait, is this going to get us in trouble?
No, it's Dua Lipa.
I
not
know,
if I
but
play for 15
have...
seconds.
No,
I got five
second
more seconds
down.
Left. Leave me
the
alone.
I would be so mad if we get this removed.
No, I'm so glad she said Dua Lipa because when we were here earlier, I almost played and I was like, she doesn't know my weird yet.
Jeremy's a really big Dua Lipa fan. Which,
gosh.
Who isn't?
We can talk
Maybe
about
you and I need to talk later.
I love me some Dua
Lipa. I'm a
that
bass
Elton
player
John
and
hit.
I love Dua Lipa.
Okay.
Yeah, she does things to me. Moment of gratitude, disco hall. Okay.
You and my husband should talk.
I'm just saying. So, it's time to land the plane. I could see Rory looking at me through the window. He's not.
He's not there. Gotcha. He's not there. God
works,
damn it. You got me.
Works every time. but this is just a moment, and it can mean whatever it needs to mean. I think the theme is in the title. It is yours for us to kind of round it out. We'll do a little more bullshitting. Call to action. We'll say this and that and the other, but Is there anything that you'd like to share? Is there anything that the conversation resonates? You did sick, by the way. Shout out to Jenny for the notes. She printed her own flight plan today, Savannah.
Oh, nice.
Front and back.
Oh, nice.
She came fucking ready.
You came prepared.
Yeah. I tried.
You're, she was like, yeah. You're professional.
Yeah.
I like the rest of us both.
But where are you at? Where are you at with that that top bullet point right there?
Moment of gratitude. It's a hard one. I mean, I feel so lucky to be in Livermore. When I left Fremont, I didn't really want to go back. Mm-hmm. And I went to SLO and Santa Barbara, and coming back, being able to come back here, and I, like I said, here because of my husband being born and raised here, I feel so grateful. And then I start working at the Ale House, and that was an incredible experience. And I have two healthy kids, and I have an amazing job that I love. I have a short commute, and I get to drink wine every so often on, you know, with, at events, and I feel like I'm living the life. Mm-hmm. Living the life that I always wanted to have. So I'm really just trying to soak it all in. So I'm grateful. And I'm grateful to be here. You guys invited me to this. This is pretty, I feel pretty honored to be
it's
here.
It's not a bad time here.
We had a good time. And thank you for the beautiful bottle of bubbles. That is what I'm grateful for. It's not often, but actually it is often, but like it's always special when our guests are excited enough to bring something, not just anything, but like something special. That's a bottle of DMX's finest right there. So like that means a lot to us. And just that. So, you know, we usually roundtable it. I am grateful for the time you spent to prepare yourself, excitement, whatever it was, anxiety of being here with us today. So thank you, Jenny.
Can I add one more thing? I know we're tight on time.
It is yours.
And I love things that go full circle. Like my perfect ideal day, start with a walk and walk home, you know, the full circle. When I was applying for my job, I used this podcast to do research for Wine Country. I listened to at least three.
That's the coolest five, show I've ever heard.
Five. And now here I am full circle. So
that's the coolest thing I've ever heard. I'm grateful for that. Whatever I was going to say before I'm that, sorry. That's what I'm grateful for.
That's so cool.
I'm so exhausted. I've had a migraine all day. I feel like shit. No. And that made my day.
I'm getting a little thug tear over here. We got to wrap this up before we start fucking dripping on here. I told you it was
that
a wet
podcast. That makes me really happy.
I told you it was a wet podcast.
I'm grateful for that.
Okay. Well, this has been great. That's awesome. It's time to wrap it up. So, Jenny, thank you for being here.
Thank you, guys, John, for doing this.
Yeah, heck yeah.
Yeah.
We're having a blast. Like I said, we're unabashful in saying, like, we're so happy to have our guests, but like, we do this for us because you guys bring us more than I think you all realize.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you all for messing with us. If you're listening to the podcast, if we haven't lost you, which we shouldn't, this episode was great, and so was the last one, subscribe, leave a review. It does more than I think you realize, and it only takes a couple of minutes. As we try and make this our pain in the ass full-time job, all that stuff helps. So otherwise, come support us, me, at the Altamont Summer Series. You can find me www.jtminthekitchen.com. I am your local spice guy. I'm easy to reach. Otherwise, come fuck with me at the bakery. I'll slap a bagel for you. I've been slanging cream cheese for weeks. Savannah, call to action, blood. That's a new segment. How can someone support you today?
Be really nice to me if you see me.
That's a call to action.
That's
a call to action. We'll take it.
I'm coming around the corner here. A way that you could support me hopefully soon is some writing in about 3 weeks when I can graduate and focus on other things. Occam's Razor, my literary magazine that I'm editor-in-chief of, is coming out soon. And if there are any opportunities to purchase, it's not typically something that you could just purchase, but if there are opportunities, I'll put them out there and buy it if you're interested, and read my really fucked up story called In Memoriam.
I can't wait. I don't care if we get canceled for this. I'm going to send it off like this. So as always, we're happy to have you. We're at the one and only Advanced Creative Studio in the heart of the Moore Valley at Vasco Makers District. As always, remember to eat local, drink local, live local, baby. I love you, Dua.
Count the seconds. It's not distinguishable yet.
Human time. Come on. This is such a great fucking song.